How's it going, everybody? This is Catfish on Ice with Chad Minton and Max Greenberg. Gonna open up this episode with a very straightforward and simple question. Is the honeymoon over for Predators fans with Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz? I feel like it is. I feel like their fans are done with the whole, oh, we're excited, we're happy, and you're seeing it after every loss that the Preds take right now. They're taking losses on the chin left and right. Things don't look good. Max, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing just another night. You know, as far as the answer to that question goes, I mean, it's kind of what I've been saying for the past few weeks now. You know, the win streak in November, December was nice, but it's not what this team was, and we just got to accept it. You know, it's no big deal this team right now is. I mean, of course, the future moves are going to dictate what this team is going to be, but right now, I mean, it's the way I see it is just sticking to the rebuild plan is what we had. I mean, you got to give it time. Anyone who thought that this team was going to be a cup contender or close to it this year was kidding themselves.
So Preds go into the All-Star break officially out of a playoff spot. They take a really brutal loss to the LA Kings, which was essentially a battle between two wild card teams that are both going in the wrong direction. Very desperate teams. Two teams that have not played well in the month of January. And you look at the numbers here, and we'll get more into them as the episode rolls on here. But the biggest thing that sticks out from this game, 44 scoring chances for the Predators. The Kings only had 22. And yet you lose this game 4-2. You only get two goals to show for it on 44 scoring chances. Give a lot of credit to David Riddick. He haunts his former team.
I was going to say, what did we do to him?
What did we do to that guy?
I mean, I was at the game last night. I was there in person the whole game. I'm just sitting there thinking, how badly did we screw him over? I mean, he literally played as well as he did last night for as well as he did the whole time in Nashville. It was just crazy.
Yeah, and of course, offensive issues continue. Yes, Philip Forsberg did score a goal, but that top line has still been effectively neutralized over the last, I would say, the last nine games. So the Predators have actually scored three goals or less in each of their last nine games, which is pretty telling in itself. They've gone 3-5-1 over that nine game stretch where if you can't score more than three goals consistently in a game, you're going to lose a lot of games.
Is it NHL? No.
It doesn't matter how good or bad UC Saros is. You got to be able to put three goals or more up on a consistent basis. And a lot of nights, you got to put up four goals. Preds can't get there right now. The top line's been neutralized. In fact, even though Forsberg did score last night, that actually came went on a different line. That was when Novak was on a line with Forsberg. That was not on the same line with Nyquist.
It was right in the power play. So, yeah.
So, we are going to discuss later in this episode during a segment, what changes do the Predators need to make when they come out of the All-Star break? Let's go to the drawing board here. Let's start talking about what should Andrew Brunette be thinking right now as a head coach? Not what Barry Trotz is thinking. Trotz is thinking about the trade deadline right now. Right. But what does Andrew Brunette need to change with this team right now, X's and O's wise, to get this team ready to start winning again? They might not be a playoff team, but they've definitely got to put a better product on the ice than what they're showing as of late. Otherwise, they're really going to fall back in the standings. It's going to get ugly. So we are going to talk about that. We're also going to give you an NHL All-Star Game preview. The NHL the All-Star Game rosters are out. Philip Forsberg is on Team Austin Matthews.
Yeah. Yep. I was just looking at it before this episode. I didn't realize how different it is this year. It's not the East-West or anything. It's completely different.
Oh, I've got my qualms about this whole thing, and most of it has to do with the All-Star competition, or the skills competition, I should say, and how not every player is being represented, and you left a lot of really skilled players off, including Philip Forsberg, who's not participating in the skills competition.
Really?
No,
I must admit, I really don't know how much the All-Star game is going to work. Like, I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to be out of town this weekend. And I haven't watched the All-Star game in years. I'm not even going to lie about that.
Well, I will go over the skills competition rosters when we get into this segment, but it's a lot of the same players. It's like you're seeing the same players. It's pretty much all Vancouver and Toronto players throughout.
Notice on Team Matthews, it's like all Maple Leafs players.
Which, I mean, hey, that means Philip Forsberg is going to be getting a lot of cheers from the hometown crowd in Toronto if he's playing on a team with Maple Leafs. So he's on there with Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, William Nylander. So, you know, should be a lot of fun. Maple Leafs flavor there. Also, going to bring in some Titans talk here. Me and Max are both going to answer the question, who has had more overall success in their history, the Preds or the Titans? Not the Oilers. We're going to cut it off only when only when they became the Titans. It's a really hard answer for me to come up with here.
It is for me as well.
Because they're very eerily similar. They both had really great regular season history. They've won a lot of games. They've made the playoffs a bunch, but each team has only made the championship in their league once, and they lost. So we're going to try to answer that. All right. So also, I think that covers about everything. I'm sure some other random stuff will come up in the meantime when we're getting into it. But let's talk about that game against the Kings a little bit more. Game opens up really close. Kings get a couple goals. Forsberg gets a big goal to make it. What was that?
2-1.
Forsberg. Yeah, he made it 2-1. Game was still kind of close, but it was one of those things where the Predators just couldn't overcome. They couldn't get over that next step and get that game tied up. Saros, what'd you think from UC Saros in this game? Let's start with that.
I thought Juice was fine. I mean, none of the goals he gave up were really his fault at all. He kind of gave up a couple goals like toward the corner, and you know, I guess maybe you would want him to stop, but like if you're gonna, I don't think the Preds didn't lose this game because UC Saros failed them. Preds lost this game because they couldn't score.
Yeah, like, and I mean,
that,
and
that's like simple as Kings, that.
The Kings add an empty net goal late there to make it a 4-2 final score. So, you know, Philip Tomasino gets his seventh goal of the year. That's been a big topic of conversation lately, and not in a good way.
No,
he is just. Why does this coaching staff, maybe that's something we can cover later in this episode coming out of the All-Star break. Why is this coaching staff so afraid of elevating Tomasino into getting bigger minutes on this team right now? I just don't understand it.
I have an opinion on that we can get into later, potentially, or now later, whatever it is.
But hey, you know what? I already want to hear it from you. Bring it now. What do you think is going on?
I'll bring it now.
I love it.
So pretty much, and I want to say this right here. I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I'm not saying it's definitely this. It could just be as simple as the coaches not using him right. But think about with Tomasino last year. He didn't play in Nashville for the first several months of the year. Over a half a year, he only played in Nashville like the last third of the year, I want to say. And then this year, he's having the trouble. At some point, you know, and I'm one of the only ones on Preds Twitter who wants to say this, and I might get ripped for this, but it's my opinion. At some point, we got to have a tougher conversation and ask, is it a coincidence or is it something behind the scenes that's going on that we don't know about that's a red flag or something like that? Because if we see two separate coaching staffs have questionable usage of them, at what point is it something way deeper?
I don't know. I have trouble making sense of it. You know, when he was being healthy scratched earlier in the season, I kept saying, okay, he's going to have to elevate his game and he's going to have to prove it to the coaches to get consistent playing time. And he's done that whenever he can. In his limited amount of ice time, he's done everything he can. You look at this game against the Kings last night, and I mean, when you're looking at 5-on-5 play, your most productive line, forward line, was Tomasino's line. Smith, McCarron, and Tomasino. They were only on the ice for 2 minutes and 10 seconds together at 5-on-5. And they were the most productive, offensively speaking, the most productive at generating offense. The Novak Glass Tomasino line.
I was going to say that was basically the line for the most of the game.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're the ones that produced the one goal. And then
I like that line. They were doing work.
They were. This is the things that Andrew Burnett's really going to have to consider. And then, of course, post-trade deadline, here's what I think is going to happen. I think everyone needs to be patient when it comes to their frustration, and I get their frustration when it comes to mostly Tomasino not getting the playing time he deserves. But I think we're in store for another major sell-off, just like last year.
Yes.
And the remaining month and a half or whatever of the season, 30-plus games that we have left are going to be – it's going to be these players getting – I think we're going to see some line changes coming out of the All-Star break first and foremost.
And and Bruno hasn't changed that top line in literally 3 months. You know,
and that's kind of where I was going.
That top line has stayed.
Well, that's where I was going with that. You're not going to take Forsberg and O'Reilly off the top line. That's just not going to happen. No. So Nyquist, and I'm not saying this because I think Nyquist has just been awful and he deserves a demotion, but you've got to be able to adjust on the fly throughout a season. Yes. And I think Brunette's maybe stuck with this top line a little too long. Teams have thrown their entire defensive arsenal at shutting down that top line. And then the Predators just can't get enough going behind that top line. So I think it's time to shake it up a little bit. I would love to see Novak on the top line, but he doesn't really fit there being a left wing when he plays the wing. So your only option might be Tomasino on the top
or
line.
Or Evangelista.
I don't know. I don't know about that, though. Evangelista has not been as good as I would like him to be this year. I know that's going to be a little bit that people don't like that, but I don't think he's been quite as good as his rookie year, his first year. I know this is technically his rookie year, but
you're muted.
I'm a little nervous about putting Evangelista on the top line because he has gotten out physicaled a lot this year.
Yes, that's
pushed off the puck a lot. So I would be a little cautious about that. I think you got to try Tomasino on the top line.
I'd be okay with that.
Because I would love to see Nyquist on the second line to have a little bit of a veteran presence. You want to spread your veterans out a little bit here.
And that's one thing I can't remember who said it. And if I'm saying – if you see it, I apologize. I'm not trying to steal words. I just don't remember who said this. But I one time saw a take that basically said that Nyquist on the top line does hurt a little bit because – you brought him in to kind of be that depth piece. And whenever he's on the top line, you don't really have that same depth. So your bottom three lines are – you got the first line, then just like it's all over the place. So having Nyquist go down the second line can help that depth a little bit.
Yeah. And, Denis Garionov, has he done enough to keep getting second line
– No.
Second line start?
He just can't score. I mean, he has – the talent's there. We've seen it, but you gotta execute.
Look, he's got the speed. He's got speed that burns. He knows how to burst into the offensive zone. But like you say, the dude can't finish, and that's a microcosm of this entire team that can't finish. So the team's now 20th in the NHL in goals per game. That is not a number you expected to see with Andrew Brunette taking over. We knew it would take some time, but we're well past the midway point now where we should be seeing much better offensive results than what we're seeing from this team. So Brunette's got a lot to chew on here, and maybe the All-Star break came at just the perfect time for this team to push reset, take a deep breath. Of course, this team still wants to make the playoffs. Of course, this team isn't thinking about being sellers. These guys are competitors. They want to win. They want to win it all. So coming out of the All-Star break, maybe this is the perfect time for this team to really, they've been getting pushed around a lot lately, and they've been dealing with a lot of negative stuff lately, and it's just not working out for him. You come out of a game here where you put up 44 scoring chances and you only come away with two goals. I mean, that's just brutal stuff. So I think this is a really opportune time to have an extended break, spend some time with family, reset your mind a little bit. And then if you're Brunette, you really got to go back to the drawing board here and get ready for this post All-Star break and see what you can do.
And at least at this point, and I feel like this has been kind of my stance the whole time, even though 20th scoring in the league is not exactly what you wanted or expected, really, it doesn't really freak me out too much because, again, it's the first year. And if we wanted a rebuild year where the team is going to struggle, well, you got to go through pains. And again, I look at that stretch in November, December, is like that. I mean, that in itself right there was overachieving a lot. So I'm not going to hold it too much against him, at least at this point. Next year, if it's still going on, maybe I'll start to become a little bit more concerned because then that's really a sign that your guys are not developing.
Definitely. Definitely got to think that way for sure. You got to start thinking about who do you, behind closed doors, who do you think is definitely going to be on this team
next season. Those are the players you got to start giving chances, more chances to. And some players who you are pretty set on trading. Those are the types of players that you got to think about. Maybe healthy scratching, or maybe moving their, knocking down their minutes. I don't know. But then you got to start thinking about who you're going to call up from Milwaukee, because right. That's probably,
that's
probably
a huge thing they got it. They might do before, after the All-Star break.
I mean, I was kind of surprised we didn't see it already. Like, I'm really surprised the Preds have not made, ever since they sent down Yusuf Parsonen to Milwaukee, I'm really surprised they haven't made any corresponding call-ups. That, like, and I know they don't want to disrupt the chemistry that Milwaukee's got going on right now. That team is won, what, like 11 games in a row. They haven't lost since the calendar flipped to 2024. So, I mean, it's always kind of a delicate balance. Like, you don't want to wreck that team, what that team's got going on right now. But you also got to think about, okay, they are the farm team, and then they do need reinforcements in the NHL right now. Right. So it's a tough call, man. It's a tough call. But, like, I would, you know, we've been talking for a while now that we want to see Spencer Stastny called back up.
Yeah.
And, you know, what about this? In this Kings game, Tyson Barrie comes back to the lineup, you know, and you're trying to showcase him to get him some trade value. And I just don't think there's any trade value right now.
He scored a goal last night, but it was waved off interference. Yeah.
And that was called on Cody Glass, who it was goaltender interference. Those are one of the ones, like, usually those goalie interference calls are so controversial. That was pretty clear cut.
I thought so too. Glass has been playing a good bit better these past few games. He hasn't scored, but he seems to have his legs back under him, which is good to see.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you got to keep putting Tyson Barrie in the lineup, and you got to hope that he strings together a couple really, really strong games, and there's a team out there that takes a shot at him.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, I think you've got to definitely think about trading Keeper Sherwood, who's not even getting in the game right now. He's not even getting started. He's
scratched all the time. Who knows if he has any value?
I mean, he doesn't have much, but you get something out of him. And, you know, there's still all these talks on UC Saros as well. So I'm telling you, let's say this team keeps losing after the All-Star break. That phone's going to keep ringing off the hook for Barrie Trotz. And you're seeing a lot of big-time NHL insiders who are throwing it out there that it seems more realistic now than it ever has that Trotz could pull the trigger and trade UC Saros.
Well, I also will say, kind of unrelated, the big trade started last night. We had a big trade Vancouver and Calgary.
So
it's already kind of starting to pick up. And around the All-Star break is, you know, when a lot of teams kind of make up their mind if they're going to buy or sell. And, you know, Trotz, I saw something from Trotz basically said, like, if we're actually on a legit heater and we actually have momentum and stuff and looks like a real chance, then I'll keep the squad together. But he's like, if it's just like in a wild card spot and we're kind of just hanging around, he's not going to waste his time. And I don't see it really getting better, because we're tied for the most games played of any team in the West. And I don't think we're within 11 points of another team in the Central that's above us.
Yeah. That was a great trade
for Calgary.
They got a lot of assets for that guy. I do think it's a good trade for Vancouver in the short term. They're showing that they're all in. Elias Lindholm is a very good, steady second line center, third line center, probably on their second line. Vancouver's in it to win it. They are very much in it to win it right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I really think we got our buddy Matt in here. What's up, Matt? Let's share his comment here. Matt Hardesty on X says, Glass, Novak, Tomasino is a great line. I couldn't break them up. I'd rather see them bring up Joachim Kimmel. Oh.
That's one too. Who knows if he's ready yet, though. He hasn't been AHL for long. I've heard a lot of people who have watched the ads, and they say that they don't think he's ready yet. So I wouldn't get – so I see what Matt's saying. I don't know if I get your hopes up that far yet for Kimmel.
I mean, let's say the Predators really fall out of the playoff race, and you're going through March after the trade deadline, you trade some assets away. I'm all for getting Kimmel in the lineup then.
You wouldn't hate it, of course. Coach saying, I've seen that. I've heard that some people have said, and people that I trust too have saying they don't think he's ready. So that's not my words. I'm saying from other people that have said that.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Matt, for sharing. Good to see you and hear from you. All right. So let's start talking about some other stuff here. Let's get into the NHL All-Star selections and what we're expecting. So Philip Forsberg again is on Team Auston Matthews. So a lot of Maple Leafs flavor on that team.
Four players to be exact.
Yeah. So you've also got Alex DeBrincat on Forsberg's team. You've got your two goalies. You got Jake Ottinger and Igor Shesterkin. Yep. So it's pretty solid. Think that Forsberg's on a pretty good team. I'm very, very upset that he did not get in the skills competition, though. How do you not put Philip Forsberg in the puck handling, stick handling competition when he's one of the best stick handlers in the game?
Yeah,
makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you said you don't even watch the skills competition very often.
I hardly even watch the game itself very. I literally have not watched the game in years. Like I'm not even gonna lie.
I mean, I would have really liked to have seen Forsberg in either the stick handling competition or the accuracy shooting competition. I mean, let's think about Forsberg's wrister. I mean, he's known for his snipe ability with his wrister. How do you not put him in the accuracy shooting competition? But just looking over some of these contestants and the accuracy shooting, you got Nikita Kucherov. Okay, that makes total sense. Cal Makar, Connor McDavid, Quinn Hughes, JT Miller, David Pastrnak, Nathan MacKinnon, William Nylander, Leon Draisaitl, and Auston Matthews. Now that is a pretty loaded.
I mean, Forsberg definitely is not better than a lot of those players. So I'll say that.
Well, he's not, but I mean, I just think you should feature every All-Star in your skills.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you're going to bring him to the game, you let him play in the skills. Like when I went to the game in Nashville, I don't know, were you in one in Nashville when it happened?
No, I did not get to go to that. Yeah,
well, I saw, like, when I was there, I saw, and I'm pretty sure every guy who was at the All-Star game was in the skills competition to some degree.
Oh, yeah, this is the first year where they're not featuring every player that's in the All-Star game.
This format's very weird. I don't like it just from all the way.
Well, you know, leave it to the NHL to always overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
So let's start talking about some of our favorite players who are going to be in this All-Star game. Let's go with that. So for me, I'm really, really pumped to see David Pastrnak just go.
That's what I was going to say. I really love Pastrnak.
I mean, I feel like he's going to just really take off in this game. And so he's a good one. You know, you're talking 3-on-3 format. So it's open ice, plenty of scoring chances. That's the whole point here. But looking at some of the other squads here. Let's see, David Pastrnak's team, he is on, where is Pastrnak at? He is on Team McDavid. How's that fair? So, Team Connor McDavid, so they did a player draft tonight, which was pretty cool. So, you can go, if you have like ESPN Plus, you can go back and watch it. But they did an all-star team draft, similar to what I think the NBA did the same thing. So, That was kind of fun to watch. So Connor McDavid, no shocker here. He takes his buddy Leon Draisaitl. Then you've got Robert Thomas is another one that should be in the skills competition. That dude is so fun to watch for the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, he's gotten better and better.
But yeah, Connor McDavid's group, you got Leon Draisaitl, Nick Suzuki, Rasmus Dahlin,
That's the guy I'm excited. I would be excited to watch. Yes. Rasmus Dahlin. I like him a lot.
Sam Reinhart from the Florida Panthers, who is just having
a crazy
breakout year.
Where did that come from?
He's one of the top goal scorers in the league right now. He is on fire.
He has 37 goals, and we're not even at work. We just started February.
Sergei Bobrovsky, always good to see him. The Sharks had to have a player. Everybody's got to have a player. So Tomas Hertl is representing the Sharks. And then you've got Boone Jenner representing the hapless Columbus Blue Jackets. So that's your team, Connor McDavid.
I don't know. They have Connor Hellebuyck too, who's probably going to win the Vezina this year.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I like Forsberg's team more. I think I like Team Matthews more than that one. All right. Team Nathan McKinnon's squad. Let's look at that one. Of course, he takes his teammate, Cal Makar. Sidney Crosby is on this team. Travis Konechny from the Flyers. You got Sebastian Aho, Tom Wilson. I mean, really? Really?
Can't believe he's not even 30 yet. He's just 39.
Every team's got to have a player, though. David Oliver, Bjorkstrand, Kirill Kaprizov. He's going to be fun to watch. That's another player I'm excited to watch in this format. Kaprizov and his shot. I'm really excited to see him play in this. And then, you know, of course, you know, I used to just really just have so much disdain for Sidney Crosby ever since the Stanley Cup and all that stuff. But you know what? I'm still not blind to the fact that he's one of the best ever to play this game. Yeah. And so watching him in an all-star game at this elevated age, I'm still going to be all about it. So, yeah, I don't know. Team McKinnon doesn't do it for me, though. It doesn't do it for me. And then let's get to the Hughes brothers have their own team. Nikita Kucherov, Brady Tkachuk, Cam Talbot's going to be their goalie, Elias Pettersson. Okay. Elias Pettersson might be my number one player that I'm really excited to watch in this game.
Yeah, he's having an incredible year.
I mean, that dude's shot is – I mean, he's going to be
just the way lighting the lamp.
Yeah. So, Elias Pettersson, JT Miller is also having a great year. Thatcher Demko, so a lot of Canucks flavor on this team. Kyle Connor and Jesper Bratt. All right. Also on Team Hughes, you've got Brock Besser and Frank Vatrano. I really think Philip Forsberg's team with Austin Matthews might be the best team.
I personally, as far as the team, of course, Forsberg on that team, of course, he's my favorite player in the All-Star game. But I, as a whole, I really like Team McDavid.
You like Team McDavid?
I like Team McDavid a lot. They have some players I really like watching.
So, yeah, they're going away from the so in the past, they've always done the division format. So, all the divisions go up against each other in, like, a tournament style. But now they're going the more fan-friendly way of players drafting their teams. So we'll see how that goes with that. So yeah, good stuff there. All-Star weekend. The All-Star game will be on Saturday. The skills competition will be on Friday night. So you can check that out if you have ESPN or the ESPN Plus app. All right. More to get into here. Before we do that, let's tell you about our sponsor, DraftKings, with our Super Bowl offer. Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. So I've got some, you got all the fun Super Bowl props out there for this year. So right now you got the San Francisco 49ers against the Kansas City Chiefs. First of all, Max, what did you think about that Ravens-Chiefs game? That was...
The Ravens blew it. Gosh. They blew it. Like, that was comedy of errors, lack of discipline. I mean, that... Yeah, it was a mess for them. If I'm a Ravens fan, I'm just sick to my stomach right now with the way they gave away that game. It was mistake after mistake after mistake for them.
All right, the line right now, according to DraftKings, has the 49ers as 2-point favorites, actually. So there's that. You can do player specials on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, including how many sacks will Nick Bosa have, 2+ sacks? Will Christian McCaffrey have 130 rushing yards and receiving yards? Travis Kelce, 11 or more receptions? All kinds of stuff. You've also got touchdown scores, alternate spreads, alternate totals, first half. All of your Super Bowl prop bets are on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. And you can use our code THPN to get this offer of $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook. An official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. All right, let's go back to what we were talking about earlier. What do we want to see change? What does Andrew Burnett need to be working on coming out of? Are you okay over there?
No, I dropped my phone. I'm good.
I was like, what happened?
No, that was just my phone. No, everyone, you can take a deep breath. That was just my phone.
So we talked about the top line. I think that the biggest thing that Andrew Burnett needs to fix with this team coming out of the All-Star break is he's going to have to shake the forward lines up. Definitely going to have to do that.
I agree. Yep. Yeah. I think, sorry, you were saying.
Well, I was also going to say a big thing too has been the power play is just completely gone backwards.
Yeah.
Went 0-for-4 against the Kings.
Yep.
This is supposed to be a strength of this team under Andrew Burnett. And it was looking good there for a while, but wow. I mean, and here's another crazy thing, and I know people aren't going to like this, but I'm just speaking facts here. The Predators enter this year's All-Star break with the same amount of points as they did entering the All-Star break last year with John Hines. Just saying.
I mean, different situations, but yeah, I mean, it's not – certainly not ideal for where you want this team to be. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, this team kind of has to just pick a direction. You can't just stay in this mediocre limbo the whole time. But that's why I think this team just needs to say, you know what, commit to the rebuild that we started and just continue to sell. Let's not make the same mistake we made 2 years ago. We looked like we were going to rebuild. We kept it together. It set us back a few years. This year, stay the course. Just do what you said you were going to do. And keep this thing going. And this year is not going to be it. Next year probably won't be either. But you just want overall, just you want to hope for steady improvement in the coming years. So, but for this year, just commit to the sell. And this team is, it's pretty proven at this point. This team is not going to maybe a threat in the playoffs. So why would you try and keep it going?
5 weeks away from the trade deadline, 13 games left for the Predators during that span. I actually think that Trotz is going to pull off some trades before trade deadline day.
I could see it.
I really do. I think we could after the All-Star break, I could see things happening pretty fast. I could see Sherwood getting traded. I could see either Dante Fabro or Alexander Carrier could be traded. Arguably, besides Saros, I think Carrier might be your most valuable
trade. That's what I was thinking as well. I think that's one. And here's kind of the dilemma with trading Carrier. If you're trading Carrier, like already the Preds are kind of have a lopsided ratio when it comes to left-handed defensemen versus right-handed defensemen in Nashville and Milwaukee. If you trade Carrier, that right side's taking a hit again. So that's my only reservation with trading Carrier. But I'm with you. I think he could absolutely get a return, and he's one of those. It doesn't really worry me enough to trade him because it's been proven that it's not. It's not the worst thing in the world because Yossi's played on the right side a bunch. I know Lozon can play on the right side a little bit, but like, it's not like that's nothing to think about. You got to think if we're getting rid of Carrier, we're further depleting the right side of that defense, which it's not the most critical thing in the world, but it does matter.
It does matter. But I mean, here's my thing. If your goal at this trade deadline is to acquire future assets in the draft and maybe get a prospect out of it too or something, then you got to offer some good stuff. Yeah. You can't just be like, oh, I don't want to trade this guy because I like him too much. It don't work that way. You're going to have to part ways with someone you really like if you're going to get anything out of this trade deadline. And unfortunately, a lot of the Preds' tradable assets right now are not of high value, unfortunately. So I don't know how much Barry Trotz is really going to be able to get out of this trade deadline. Yeah. Even if he does trade a few players, he's not going to get much.
Yeah, and the thing with Carrier, the thing with Carey being a right-hand defenseman doesn't worry me enough to not trade him, and especially if you don't think you're going to re-sign him. If you're not going to re-sign him, then don't even think about it. You don't want to lose him for nothing. But I'm just saying that dilemma is it's not like it's a nothing matter either.
And Dante Fabro could be traded again as well. I mean, let's not forget about that. I mean, I would rather see Dante Fabro be traded, kind of for the reasons you're mentioning, honestly. Like, I don't want to see the right part side of the defense. Well, Fabro's
right-handed as well.
Yeah, but I would much rather move on from Fabro.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is, if it's going to be a question of whether if it's one of those things where you're going to question if Fabro's going to be playing a ton, I mean, you'd rather just trade him to where he's going to play versus having this question, although he has been in the lineup for most of January, so that's been way less of an issue lately.
And I think Fabro could get a decent could get something for you.
But I do like that Yossi Fabro pairing. But again, you can't, like you said, you can't just, if you want to get assets, you can't use a ton of reasons to not trade these guys. You just have to get your assets and get draft capital. So no reason to get too picky on that.
You know, so I wrote an article. I want to get your thoughts on this. I wrote an article recently for Pretlines.com saying that really my only untouchable free agent that I don't want to see traded is Tommy Novak. I think that would be counterproductive for what you're trying to build here. Like, you could definitely get a good return on him if you want to trade him, but why would you trade away significant pieces to your to the young part of your lineup? That just seems like you're further prolonging the rebuild longer than it needs to be by trading away someone like Tommy Novak, who is, anytime he gets a chance to play consistently, he's one of the most efficient point producers on this team outside of Philip Forsberg.
I mean, I think in its general sense, I agree. But, you know, as I've been saying on this podcast a bunch, you know, in a perfect world, you want to keep him. But if you're getting to March 8th or whenever the deadline is, I believe that's it. And you're getting to that point and you're still nowhere near a deal with Tommy Novak. The worst thing you can do is losing for nothing. So if you get to March 8th and he's not signed, not even close to it, you just got to say, you know what, cut your losses and at least get something. That's so I agree. You know, I would absolutely, he was one of those guys I would prioritize. But again, you don't want to, the worst outcome is you lose him for nothing.
Yes. Matt Hardesty jumps in here back on, he's watching on X
don't
here
do
with
that
us.
To me, Matt.
Shin's contract is in unmovable. Trotz has a ton of work to do.
Yeah, that you cannot.
Not to mention Novak elevates Tomasino. Yeah. Exactly. You got to think about that too. You trade away Novak. How does that affect all your other younger players that play well together? So I just, for me, it would take a really, really huge offer from a team that I don't think anyone's going to do that. But for me to, I'm not trading Novak away just to get a couple draft picks. I'm just not doing that.
I just hope that, you know, obviously Barry's going to have a ton of work to do the deadline, but I would just hope that in the days leading up or even beforehand, just lock Barry and Novak's agent in a room together and just get a deal done. Don't leave that room until it's finished.
So I came across this really interesting post from Cap Friendly today. So they ranked on standard contracts, not ELCs or players 35 or older. Lowest cost per point ranking. So these are like the biggest bargains compared to how many points they score. Mm-hmm. Tommy Novak is the fifth cheapest player in terms of point production. $34,782 down to, that's his cost per point right there, $34,000, almost $35,000 per point. One of the
cheapest. You got to remember, he was injured for about a month, and when he came back, he was still like, he was in a bit of a slump too. So that just shows you how much of a bargain he is. Of course, you probably won't get him back for that cheap again, but still.
Also, I shared this a while ago as well. It might have changed a little bit since I shared this because I think they've played maybe one or two games. But Novak is also one of the best puck movers and puck possessors. He is top 50 in the league among skaters, and he's in territory with players like Nikita Kucherov and Mikko Rantanen when it comes to his Corsi rating. I mean, the guy is over 60% Corsi, which is elite. Anything over 60 and you're elite in that category, at least. So I have been saying this for a while. It's only a matter of time before Novak becomes a perennial, not just top six player, but he can even be a top line player in his future in Nashville. And that's why some people were really upset when they went out and got Nyquist and O'Reilly. And even though they've played very well and they've done some good things, it kind of put a roadblock up for the younger players to be on the top line this year. And so I know a lot of fans are upset about that.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly understand that. And to your point, whenever you watch Novak play, just the one thing that stands out to me is how much control he has with the puck on his stick, and he just looks strong. And last year, during the final stretch of the year, it felt like he was producing at a point per game. Like, it's he very well could break up into that upper echelon of forwards who actually does score a point per game at some point.
Yep. All right, so plenty more to get into as that time comes closer. Want to do one other quick thing before we move on here. Let's look at the I want to look at the wild card standings right now, and I want to size up the price. If you want to pull it up in front of you, Max.
Yep, I'm looking right now.
And I want, because the wild card race in the Western Conference is, as you would expect, full of very mediocre teams, just like the Predators are right now. But if we got to pick two teams in this wild card race that are going to eventually be on top and get one of those playoff spots, who is the most dangerous out of these wild card teams right now if they get in the playoffs? Who is the most dangerous?
And I assume we're not – Edmonton's in third in the Pacific, so we're not saying
no,
Edmonton. I
mean, obviously, if Edmonton fell back into the wild card race, then, yeah, they would be the de facto easy choice as far as right. The most dangerous wild card team. I think it's pretty safe to say that they are going to finish in the top three of the division for sure. You know, there's a team that's just completely surprised me. I was so down on them. I thought they were going to be close to being a last place team down there with Chicago this year. I got to give a lot of respect to the St. Louis Blues, and I hate to say that. That team just refuses to lie down. They're just a gritty team. I mentioned earlier Robert Thomas is becoming a really underrated elite player in this league. The Blues right now have the second wild card spot over the Predators in a tiebreaker because they play two fewer games, but they got the same amount of points. And then, of course, you got the Kings. Since they beat the Predators last night, they've got the top wild card spot with 56 points. You've got the Kraken right behind at 52 points. And then you got the Coyotes and the Flames with 49 points. So out of all of those teams, Max, who do you think is going to be the two that get a wild card spot?
I know they're slumping, but I'm going to say LA holds on. I still believe in them. You know, they're still a good team. That team should be in the playoffs. And, you know, a month long stretch is a while, but, you know, every team does have a time where they kind of go through a rough patch. And I think that team is too skilled. I think they're still going to make it in. Honestly, you know what? I can't believe I'm going to say this, but man, I don't even know if I want to say this, but actually, I'm going to say it just to be fun.
Minnesota, you know, Wild.
I'm going to say, you know who's going to be in there? I think the Coyotes, the Arizona Coyotes are going to sneak in there.
So that was my preseason pick, but I'm starting to get a little nervous about that. They're kind of coming back down to reality a little bit. They're a fun, fast team, though. Yeah. And if they were to get in the playoffs, they would present some problems. They would be a tough first out. They would be.
And the Sean Durzi acquisition's been great for them.
I've actually, you know what? I've got my eyes on Seattle. Seattle was supposed to be a lot better going into the season.
I was higher on them too. Yes,
they're only, and they went on a long winning streak the same time the Oilers did, and then they kind of came back down a little bit. But
I was surprised in the offseason how little they did to improve that team with the amount of draft capital and cap space they had, and they did virtually nothing.
Yeah,
to make that team better.
So I'm definitely going to go. I'm with you on LA.
Yeah,
they can only underperform for so long with the talent that team has. They're the type of team where they could get a wild card spot and then they could go on a run and make the Stanley Cup. Especially if David Riddick's going to do that kind of thing on a nightly basis. You want to talk about comeback story of the year? If David Riddick somehow becomes the goalie that the Kings desperately needed, wow.
You'd have to. He's a good guy. You'd have to just feel good for him for that one.
Yeah. I as much as I've not given enough respect to the Blues, I still don't think they're going to be one of the two wild card teams when it's all said and done. I don't think the Predators are either.
Nope.
After the deadline, I think this team's going to gut it like they did last year a little bit. Maybe not to the same dramatic level, but they're still going to definitely have some big trades in there, and they're going to get younger. They're going to get much younger. They're probably going to call up a couple guys from Milwaukee like they did last year down the stretch. And then if they keep winning, they keep winning. But you got to start thinking about a 3 to 5 year plan here.
Yeah.
And you know what? With the salary cap going up significantly this year, finally, since the COVID years, it's hardly moved at all.
Right.
And the Predators need to keep acquiring cap space and draft picks.
Yes.
And guess what? Maybe if they want to get a little back into free agency in the upcoming offseason, free agency is going to be crazy this year. Offseason free agency. Have you looked at it? There are some huge free agent names in this upcoming offseason.
I haven't been looking into it a ton yet, I must admit.
Well, we're way ahead. So, I think that obviously you don't want to just give up on the season, and you don't expect the players to give up. But if you're Barry Trotz, your eyes got to be on, okay, we've got a lot of cap space right now. And if we make some big trades and free up some more money, let's take that cap space into the offseason. Salary cap's about to go up. We're going to have a lot of money to spend in free agency this offseason if they play their cards right here. So that's kind of what I'm thinking here.
Yeah, I mean – I always say this year I was pretty surprised that we were as active as we were this year. So, but I did look a little bit at the free agents, and I will say that some of the restricted free agents, I know you have to trade for those guys. So some of those restricted free agents, and like Matt Hardesty just said, get Elias Pettersson. I mean, it's a long shot, obviously, but that would be a great one.
So our buddy Matt just wants the Predators to do what he's doing with his fantasy hockey team right now in the Catfish and Ice Hockey League.
Get his motto, Matt likes trades.
Dude, he is sending like three trades every day on the league.
Yeah,
he has unloaded everyone. And you know what? I tried to get Jeremy Swayman off his team because I need a good goalie so bad. That's like the last thing I need. And Matt's like, sorry, bro, that's my untouchable. You can't have him. I'm like, really?
I'm surprised Matt even has an untouchable. Like, I don't think no one's untouchable for Matt.
Yeah, well, he put his money where his mouth is. He walks the walk. He wants the Predators to do the same thing. He is doing that because his team was like killing it. He was like second in the league. And then he just said, you know what? We suck. I'm trading everything. Everyone's on notice. Hey, so I respect that.
No one's safe. No one's safe. You're either performing the best or you're out.
All right. So your picks are LA and Arizona. Yep. I'm going LA and Seattle. I think Seattle's going to get in. And like I said, LA could make a run for the Stanley Cup easily. It wouldn't surprise me at all. It's crazy to see how bad they've struggled as of late. 10 overtime losses. I mean, just think about that.
Not all in January, of course, right?
No, I'm just saying they were cruising there for a while. They were way ahead. And then they just – January has been particularly unkind to them. I think they've got like 2 wins in January, only like 2 wins at all in total. All right, let's wrap up episode 220 tonight with some Titans talk. How are we going to answer this question? Who has had more success in their time in Nashville? The Predators or the Titans? We're not counting the Houston Oilers time. That wouldn't be fair.
No.
Got some numbers I can put on the bottom of the screen that I looked up here. So the Predators have won 965 games in their history, 741 losses, 180 overtime losses, 60 ties, 54-71 playoff record, which isn't great. One conference title. Titans also have won conference championship since they've been here, and they've been to the playoffs 10 times. The Predators have been to the playoffs 15 times. So, Max, who has had more overall success?
I was going – ever since I knew we were going to cover this, I was going back and forth in my head. If you look – obviously, I've been following mostly through the 2010s and on, and I've seen, the Preds, I would say – well, not necessarily, I've been in the playoffs more, but a lot of those playoff appearances were, second round or best, a lot of first round exits. In my mind, I give the slight edge to the Titans because they both have championship appearances, but the Titans have that one run that took them to the conference championship. The Preds only have one trip past the second round. I think I gave a slight edge to the Titans.
So I went back and forth as well. But I actually chose the Predators.
Okay.
Because they've been to the playoffs 5 more times. And they were an expansion team, so they had a much
they
had a much higher hill to climb than the Titans did,
and not like an expansion team like in the in this day and age, like back in 1999.
And the fact that I think the Predators may where's Johnny, our Predators historian when we need him.
I wish he would watch live, man.
He does sometimes. So I can pull it up real quick. I think the Predators made the playoffs in their. I can pull it up right now. I think they made the playoffs in their sixth season. Yeah, they're sixth season.
Made the Super Bowl second year, but it's not the same, of course.
It's not the same, but, you know, it is a really tough question. But I can't ignore the fact that the Preds have been to the playoffs five more times. I think they've been the more consistent regular season team than the Titans. I mean, are we just going to forget about what year was it where the – when Ken Wisenhunt was the head coach and this team won like
oh my
two
god,
games.
It was awful. It was a year and a half, I believe, and he won three games total. Games in a year and a half.
That's a huge stain on the Titans' legacy just that season alone. So I give the slight edge to the Predators just because they had the tougher hill to climb. They've been the more consistent regular season team. The Predators haven't had a really ugly regular season in quite some time. They're always either right on the playoff bubble or they figure out a way to make the playoffs. I think nine straight playoff appearances ended last year. So they're both extremely frustrating for the fan base because they always choke it away in the playoffs and there's very little playoff success to write home about. But I'm going Preds.
Yeah.
Slightly.
But I will say, though, and I don't want to go too much on a tangent here, talk about current Titans, but the Titans in the past week are assembling a coaching staff that looks pretty freaking good. So right after the Preds game ended last night, the Titans officially hired probably the top defensive coordinator name on the market. It was Denard Wilson from the Baltimore Ravens, who – he was with the Eagles last year as their secondary coach and was with the Ravens this year's secondary coach. Both times, number one passing defenses in the NFL. And tonight, it was just confirmed that Brian Callahan is bringing his dad, Bill Callahan, to be the Titans' offensive line coach, a lateral move from Cleveland where they had one of the best O-lines in the league and they had guys injured. And I know a few weeks ago we were on here, we were not happy with how Amy Adams Trunk had handled things. With way, you know, she didn't go to the media and all that. The Vrabel firing looked questionable. But I wrote an article for TitanSize.com and I said, look, despite Amy's questionable tendencies we've seen these past few days, the results she's gotten from the moves she's made to hire and fire people have generally all ended better. And so far, the Titans, she got a really good head coach, the guy who is unequivocally the best hire the Titans could have had, especially with Ben Johnson leaving. We were not gonna hire Jim Harbaugh or Bill Belichick, because if you're going to fire Vrabel and get those, like, that would have been a move done in vain.
I'm really glad that they didn't go and get that coordinator from Dallas, Dan Quinn.
And he got hired too. But the Titans have pretty much gotten from what they should have had. The Titans have had, honestly, and this is a big statement, but damn near the best case scenario they could have had.
I like the new guy. I get good vibes from staff.
Like it's been great.
I really liked Callahan's opening press conference.
Oh, he was awesome.
Very well spoken. Very open. Just very open about his plans. So I got a buddy down here in St. Pete, Florida, that's a diehard Cincinnati Bengals fan. So I picked his brain a little bit, and he was like, "You guys got a good one."
Yeah.
He's like, he told me straight up. He goes, "This guy deserved a head coaching job." But he's never called his own plays. I did not realize that he did not call his own plays in Seattle. So that has me a little nervous that he's never called his own plays before. But other than that, I'm excited. I think it's a great hire.
From what I've heard from people, there was also a guy on Twitter who I've seen who a lot of people trust as like the Bengals resource. He said great things about Callahan. Zach Taylor, Bengals head coach, was saying great things. I'm really not worried about him not calling plays. I think he'll do just fine. And they've said he's developed every position they've had in Cincinnati.
Let's see if Derrick Henry wants to take a hometown discount and come back.
I would love it, but I think it's unlikely, unfortunately.
Probably, yeah. I know it's unlikely, but unlikely. I can still live in fantasy land, can't I?
Oh, of course you can. We all live in fantasy
land. And can this team please go out and get another wide receiver? I mean, that would be amazing in itself. Just go get a number two. Get a good quality number two wide receiver.
And T. Higgins would be great, but I wouldn't get your hopes up there. He'll be franchise tagged by the Bengals. So
yeah.
Don't get excited about – you can live in fantasy world, of course. I'm not saying you can do that.
Nah, but yes. No,
if you're living in reality world, don't expect the T. Higgins acquisition this year. I'm sorry. Don't want to – yeah.
We just want a professional sports championship in Nashville. Is that so much to ask?
I want one so bad.
The city deserves it so much. Think about a championship parade going down Broadway.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about that. I mean –
The whole town would get off work for a day and have to.
It would rival the NFL draft crowd.
Oh, the craziness that would ensue. It'd be more.
Probably. Yeah. City deserves it. Let's see who brings one home first. I don't know. We've talked about that before in the past as well. Which championship is harder to win? Of course, the path is shorter in the NFL. You don't have to play as many games. But you're one and done. You have one bad game and you're eliminated. Whereas at least in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can have a bad game one and still come back in game two and get the win and tie the series. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Both teams are very frustrating though.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone, thank you so much for joining episode 220 of Catfish Nights with your hosts Chad Minton and Max Greenberg. Looking to get some good guests on in the coming weeks. Stay tuned for that. Until then, everyone stay safe. Enjoy your weekends. Enjoy your All-Star break festivities. And we will see you back here next week for a brand new episode. Take care.
See you later. Bye.